The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday live from Flowery Branch. Falcons training camp, day number one. Practice in the books.
Yep.
They're off the field. It's cool to get out here and see all the fans, obviously. Shout out to everybody that stopped by. Cool to go over there and just kind of watch the guys practice a little bit, too. Penix slinging it all over. Obviously, Kirk Cousins back up getting the second team reps. He was out there, too. No big injuries or anything like that to talk about on day one, which is good, and hopefully that continues to be the case throughout all of camp.
Yes.
But, just fun to be back out here. It's like, in terms of, like, excitement shows, like exciting shows.
All right.
I put this one in like top five of the year.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it, man. I think it's more or less for me just to get to meet listeners. I mean, I sit out in this damn heat. I'm cool on that. But I mean, I think just be, you know me. Anytime we don't have to go into Kia Studios, I'm cool. You know what I mean? But I love the Kia Studios.
Sure.
But I love being out and about, meeting fans and everything like that. And then you always get the sense when you're driving up here. I know when you get off the exit off 985, it's like, oh yeah. You know, it's that time, you know, and so we're fortunate enough to be able to come out here and sit out here and broadcast live as me and you are doing right now. But, yeah, it's fun when football season starts because of the optimism. I know I have a lot of fun, but the optimism that you have as far as your team can win the Super Bowl. But I just love it. I tell you, I say it all the time. I love me some damn Falcon fans. I love them so much. And, you know, for them to be out here because they were out here today, man. Like I said, that parking lot was complete. I can't imagine how it's going to be this weekend. It's going to be stupid crazy this weekend over here, and rightfully so, man. Be excited about your football team, and hopefully they give you something to be excited about.
Yeah. Be optimistic until you don't have to be anymore.
Yeah, but we're looking at the building because the weight room is love it. Love it.
It does look very nice.
Looks really, really nice in here.
Yeah,
though.
This
yeah.
whole wing is, yes. is new.
Yeah, so Mr. Blank put that bread in.
Yeah.
Mr. Blank put that bread
in. Yeah, because, you know, they got like a mediocre grade a couple years ago in terms of facilities,
it's
right?
Amazing. It's amazing.
And some owners are like, tough blank.
You know what I mean?
We're going to move the team to Missouri. Other owners are like, all right, what do you need?
Yep.
What do you want me to do?
I
need a better weight room.
Arthur Blank is a what you need.
Yeah.
He is definitely a what you need.
Just to give a little lay of the land, I know not everybody's ever been out here before, but if you have been, where we normally broadcast from, we're really close to there, but literally if we were broadcasting from our normal spot, we would be in the middle of the weight room.
Yeah.
The place
that's
that
crazy,
they built the weight room in that parking lot that was there.
Damn,
is,
that's great. Hold on.
Is
because I always judge it by the parking lot where we're sitting
right.
by.
We would be,
it would be right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right? Like right where those I don't even know what do you got over there? Like some sort of rack or something. Anyway, whatever
some
it is.
Some kind of rack.
Some kind of weight rack. Some kind of rack for getting strong. But the cool thing is you look into it, they've got those big garage doors that open up onto the practice field. That's always awesome.
Yes, it is.
That's such a cool
thing. So convenient,
thing.
Too.
Yeah, you just go right out there. I always love a bar that has stuff like that, too.
Yes, yes.
That's a pipe dream. To have like a garage or something, or like a backyard bar that opens up to like a patio pool kind of situation.
There you go.
We'll get there.
You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. We stay number one long enough, Randy. Get that garage door opening up to a pool.
You're damn right we will.
Yeah, I'll have everybody over. All right, the noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's get to an NFL no huddle. All right, before we get back into some of what the national folks have had to say about the Falcons, the big story of the day was Justin Fields carted off the field at Jets training camp. You had said that you saw sort of a follow-up to that maybe was a little bit better than initially reported.
Let me pull it up real quick, Bob, because they were saying basically he got his foot stepped on.
Right.
And if you get your foot stepped on by a lineman, it hurts.
Yeah, those guys weigh 300 pounds and they have cleats on.
It hurts a lot, man. And so I know I'm sure they're going to go with the MRIs and the X-rays and everything like that. But I don't know. It could be whatever. But until you get the diagnosis, we know he got his toe stepped on.
Right.
And it's on his right foot. And that is
a broken toe.
It could be anything. You know what I mean?
And that could be bad.
And so we'll wait to hear the initial report. But that's what Aaron Glenn said. That somebody stepped on his toe and they don't have any as far as what is the diagnosis of what's going on with him.
I mean, again, when you hear lower leg injury in modern sports, your mind immediately goes two places.
First thing I thought, brother.
You go Achilles and you go ACL. And the fact that it's neither of those things – seemingly, is good. And like we said.
Because he doesn't know the severity of it.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't know the severity of it. This is about an hour ago said He is undergoing x-rays on the toe, suffered in practice today.
Any new information we get on that, we will pass along as soon as possible. The Eagles aren't going to refer to themselves as defending champions.
Because they're not defending anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always think that champions of the Super Bowl should be called reigning champions.
Yes.
Because they're the current Super Bowl champions. They're the reigning champions.
Boxers defend champions.
Right. Yes. That happened.
Yes.
Like, that team won a Super Bowl. This is a
team, but different team. You remember Kirby told him?
I know.
So
I always
won a championship.
I always loved it when he said that.
Yeah.
That they're not defending that.
They're defending that.
That championship is theirs forever.
Yeah.
They're currently the reigning champions, but the 2024-2025 Eagles will always be Super Bowl champions.
But every damn team says that.
Do they?
Yeah, a lot of people say it. I'm talking about players. The players on the teams. Okay. Like, we're not defending.
I just like it. I like that mentality.
Yeah, I like
because then you can be like, you know, I don't know, you sort of spin it as a motivational thing or something like that. Anyway, that's what they're calling themselves. Let's hear Adam Schefter talk about Michael Penix.
Well, I think he's got a chance to be a great quarterback. You know, if you watched him last year, you could not be encouraged by what he showed. Big-time talent. You know, you got to see more of it this year. But that was such a great quarterback class. And we'll see more of that quarterback class with J.J. McCarthy. But I think if you watched him, like the vibes on him, the talk on him, people have been around. I think everybody's really excited about it. You could see why Atlanta drafted him. And now you have to go out and, you know, get it done on the field. But I think people are pretty excited about him.
I am.
Yeah. I mean, the kid is super talented.
Excited is probably the first word.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, because, you know, you see the ability that this young man has to throw the football. I mean, this dude can spin it. It's always different when it's a lefty. But, I mean, it gets there just as fast as a righty. And but, yeah, I mean, the patience part about it, you got to be patient. But at the same time, being patient because he's a young quarterback, he's still got to damn produce because of where your team is. And I'm talking about the coaching staff, the front office, everybody that's in this building right now that wasn't on the football field practicing, everybody, all those people right there are feeling the pressure. And this young man, he has a lot on his damn shoulders, Andy.
He has so much on his shoulders.
Yes, he does.
That's why excited is the first word. And then nervous is probably the second word.
Right.
Because – I just want it so badly for him.
I understand.
I want it so badly for Falcons fans and the team and all that kind of stuff. And then you just, you know, you see what it is when it doesn't go like that.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, everything that gets said in July and August immediately gets forgotten in September and October if it doesn't go well.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Even if it goes well in September and October, it immediately gets forgotten in November and December if it doesn't go well. I just want it to go well. I think that it will. I'm optimistic that it will, too. That's another word that I would use for it. But, you know, it's just the closer we get to it and the more people talk about it, the more it feels like the hype is really, really high for a kid that has not been a starter in the NFL.
Yeah, but it has to be. You know what I mean? What else you got? I mean, I know you understand you got somebody behind him who's won and played a high level in his league. If you see Kirk Cousins, that's not good. Just like what we said last year before the season. If you see Michael Penix, stuff ain't going good.
It's one of two things, obviously.
Yes. 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 If you see Kirk, I mean, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Same damn thing. If we see Kirk Cousins this year.
And for Kirk, it was both things.
Yeah.
He was hurt and played
bad. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, yeah, if you see him, it's a disaster. Something went wrong.
Yeah.
Either, or some could go good. You're blowing somebody out, but you wouldn't put Kirk in no blowout game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I guess we did see Penix
Denver.
At the end of a couple of bad losses before he was actually the starter. We can skip the Steve Weiss one. I want to talk just a little bit about what's going on with the Bengals and Joe Burrow specifically. Here's Joe Burrow talking about camp getting underway.
Yeah, obviously disappointing. You know, you'd like to have all your guys out there day one to try to build that cohesion that I was talking about earlier, but it's not how it usually works out. You know, it's a business, and that is how it's gone.
You can that's a dude that's tired of that.
You can tell in his tone he tired.
Yeah.
You can tell in his tone that he's getting frustrated because he don't want to be asked about these questions every year about the same thing as far as contracts and teammates getting paid and everything like that. He just, to me, when I heard that clip, he sounds tired.
Which, of course.
Yeah, because
of course he is. He should be.
You know what this dude wants to do? He doesn't want to go play football. You know what he wants to do? He wants to make sure that this team isn't off to an 0-2 start 3 years in a row.
Yeah, because the frustrating thing is if they don't get it done with the first-round draft pick and with Hendrickson, like, they're going to be the same team they were last year. The offense was great. Joe Burrow, especially in the second half of the year, put up MVP-caliber numbers.
Because he had to. He even told you,
but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because they were the worst defense in the NFL. Like, they averaged 30 points in losses.
Yes.
Like, that's how bad that defense was.
And I saw that. I think they're the first team to average as many points they've averaged or scored as many 40-point games as they got in history to not go to the playoffs.
And not go to the playoffs.
Yes.
Right. So it just kind of feels like it's shaping up similarly if they don't get it done with those guys. And that's a shame because then 2 years wasted of, like, genuine, like Hall of Fame type.
Yes.
You talk about Ja'Marr Chase, you talk about Joe Burrow, and the type of things that they're doing there. And it's like, I don't know, man. I mean, again, every franchise has their own demons and their own issues, but that one is just that they have a cheap ass owner,
dude,
and it really sucks.
Carson Palmer was in the prime of his freaking career, and left because he didn't want to play for you.
Yeah.
Joe, in my opinion, has that type of, hey, man, I don't know about you because I can't see Joe leaving Ja'Marr and all those dudes.
Right.
But
he just got that contract.
Yes.
So, like,
but he's,
you know,
getting,
that might be.
But he's about fed up with him, though.
But to sound like that already?
That sounds like you fed the blank up.
Because, you know, if we're still doing this in 2 or 3 years, exactly. Then it's like, well, file the papers, and then I'll go play for the Raiders or something like Carson Palmer did.
Yeah,
what else? George Pickens said, definitely excited to run better plays with the Cowboys.
That's such a George Pickens answer.
Yeah, it is. Can't help himself.
Yeah, that's such a George Pickens answer.
A little shot at Arthur Smith there.
That's a George Pickens answer right there, man. Yeah, man, I just want to run some better plays.
All right.
Yeah, damn, that's such a George Pickens. I like they own one because I saw CeeDee Lamb tell me I am one of the best receivers in the league. Everybody's going to see that. I don't like to brag. I'm not braggadocious or that, but I am one of the best players in the league. I'm going to put everybody on notice.
That's such a wide receiver.
But I don't talk trash, though.
It's not even a humble. It's a brag. Like, it's hilarious to say I don't mean to brag and then brag.
Yes.
That's like when you say with all due respect and then totally disrespect somebody.
Yeah. That's exactly
with all due respect, you are really ugly.
Yeah.
Like, you're just,
man.
No, that's disrespectful. Like, you can't just say with all due respect and then have carte blanche to get away with anything.
Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? You ain't cute to me. You know what I mean?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
It always has been. That's why you shouldn't be insulted. You should not, and I do a bad job, but you should not paint with a broad, ugly brush. You know what I mean?
It's just ugly to you.
It's ugly to me.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah. Could be beautiful to somebody else.
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of people into, like, lazy eyes and stuff.
Hey.
I used to be.
I had a partner that was into them. Damn sure did. He like, hey, this is exactly what he told me. He like, this dude, he said, I like him seeing him left. I like them seeing left and hairy. Yeah. I was like, huh? Yeah, I like,
What the hell's wrong with this guy?
Dude,
nothing.
Like,
sorry.
Yeah.
Beauty
in the lack of hair.
Beauty's in the lazy eye of the beholder.
Hey, dog, look at her leg. You see that? It's like,
a wild dude.
Yeah, see her damn hair.
All right, we're going to come back and
get some big.
Stop talking about that. We're going to come back and talk about ACC Big Ten Media Days. Dukes of Bell had Haynes King on the show yesterday. I know Brent Key spoke with the media as well. We'll get into some of that after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, broadcasting live from Flowery Branch. Falcons training camp, day number one in the books. Hour number two for us, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get into a couple different college football conversations just a minute. Let you hear from Haynes King, quarterback of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. We'll get to a back page with Bo coming up at 12:40. Back into the big story of the day at 1.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. I wonder if he heard me because he listened to the show.
Oh. Well, he didn't say his name. He didn't say his name.
He just sent me a crying emoji. Yeah, man, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. She had to have hair, not on her head. He said she had astigmatism.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I said. All right, it's just astigmatism. I was like, all right, wait, when she wear glasses, straightened out. I was like, you know what, dog?
I think I told you this before. I'll say it again. I'm not ashamed of my past.
You should not be.
I used to date a girl that when she got tired, her right eye would drift.
Yeah, man. Like, so if you were like,
time to go.
So if you lay, if you're laying on her right hand side, you can see eye to eye too.
Uh-huh. She didn't have to roll over. That was just always a good indicator when it was time to go home from the bar.
Right.
It was like, she's looking at everybody.
How about this?
Get on out of here.
All that talking got Eli Drinkwitz a contract extension.
Oh.
Yeah, good for him.
Could have been that. Could have been the 23 wins over the last 2 years.
Yeah, could have been anything.
Could have been anything.
His ass will be fired.
Yeah, no, we talked about him a couple years ago when we were at SEC Media Days about, hey, like, you know, who's on the hot seat? This guy certainly needs to start winning.
Yep.
And he did.
Yeah.
You win double-digit games 2 years in a row, get a contract extension.
Yeah.
Seems simple to me.
It's crazy.
He didn't even have to extort him to pretend he was going to go to some other job.
Because he wasn't getting another job.
Well, you know, probably not. But I don't know. He's done a fine job.
But, I mean, he's dead to me.
I don't really
too.
Care one way or the other about Eli Drinkwitz, but he's done a fine job.
If he's dead to Ashton Davis, he's dead to me.
Oh, yeah. No, she still wants him fired.
If Ashton don't like him, I don't like him.
You leave App State.
Yeah.
No matter what the circumstances are. Yeah. You're dead.
Yeah, but I think ACC Media Day is still going on. I think today's Dabo's Day.
Okay, that'll be good.
I think Bill's out there, Belichick, because this will be like his first – because I don't think they had a big press conference for him when he – this may be like local, but this is going to be the big media. So does Bill Belichick mumble through like old Bill, or does he give you some insight? I'm so curious to see that.
I think he's probably more insightful.
Yeah.
I think you kind of have to be like that as the head of a program, right?
Yeah.
In the NFL, you know – guys come or they don't. You draft them, you pay them, whatever. College, you got to impress them, right?
Yeah. Got to impress them.
Yeah.
You know Bill don't give a damn. Bill got 6 damn Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
What do you think Bill cares about?
Well, I know, but, you know, but Bill's acting different, though.
I mean, just because Bill always been in them young shouters now.
Has he?
Yeah, Bill always been in the young shouters now. Come on now.
I didn't know that.
Come on, he hung around Robert too long. Yeah. They like them young shouters. So.
Well, Robert likes paying them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, to each his own, you got it. You know what I mean? You got it.
If you got it, don't get caught.
That's the biggest
thing. You know what I mean?
No.
If you got it, don't be going to $150.
No. If you got it, don't pull up to the $150 in a damn Rolls Royce.
In a Rolls Royce.
And get out the back.
Right. Like, all it's right? a confusing level yeah. of got it.
Yes.
Like, you have a Rolls Royce and a driver.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Got it. Go to the strip mall rub and tug. Don't got it.
Don't got
what
it.
What are we doing?
Like,
you know what I mean?
You see that rolling up? You see?
I can't say that.
Yeah,
my
you can.
Bad.
But yeah, I would go talk through it. But yeah, I mean, but yeah, you can't just be out there all willy nilly.
Yeah, I don't know what Bill's gonna do. Yeah. I don't know. You know what I mean? The Bill Belichick UNC storyline in general is to me, even though it's interesting, it's still there's so much other stuff in college because it's just you know they're not gonna be great this year, right? Like
no.
they might be okay, they might be better, and certainly he's a great coach, but I don't know. Like you gotta see him play a few games and sort of see if there's any impact at all
right.
as far as that
right.
goes. It would be silly to me if he goes up there and does the old shtick of being like hard to talk to and all that, but do whatever you want, Bill. You're your own man.
Hell yeah, Bill.
Haynes King was on with Duke Sabel yesterday, not mumbling, talking about what type of quarterback he is.
I mean, that's what the strength and conditioning coach is for, you know, put more muscle mass on to do that and to prepare your body for stuff like that. But also, you know, we've been talking, and sometimes I do need to know when to slide, when not to, take care of my body, certain hits on certain shoulders, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's needed to win.
I tell you, he's a Texas boy.
Uh-huh.
And I know, great job yesterday by Duke Sabel because I got a chance to listen to this interview because I was out and about. But I think that his health is one of the most important things because of how vital he is to what they do because he's a dual threat quarterback. And what was his name we looked up yesterday, the other quarterback?
Philo.
Yeah,
Philo's
a nice replacement, but he ain't Haynes, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, his biggest thing, like he was talking about, knowing when to slow down because he don't slide. He goes in there head first, shoulder first, and all those different things. And eventually, it's going to catch up with you, and it did last year.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going head first looking for contact, it's got to be at the goal line against Clemson.
Yes.
Or at the goal line against Georgia. Or trying to pick up a fourth down in the fourth quarter, a first down in the fourth quarter in a big game like that. You know, second quarter against some of those non-conference schools where he's wanted to hit people,
yes.
You know, and play the style of football that he plays, which is great and is a big part of why people love him. You just got to kind of – you got to pick your spots a little bit,
yeah.
You know. If you're going to be – and he is such a huge part of a team that has a chance to be really good this year. Like, if he plays up to the potential that he has and they win some games, I mean, I think that they will this year, like, he's got a chance to be in the Heisman conversation at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really good player, Andy. Like I said, he's going to put up rushing and passing yards. He's a red zone weapon.
He's going to score a ton of touchdowns.
You remember the Syracuse game when Syracuse was running away with it? He breaks out the backside. I mean, the guy can take it. They just had some nice runs against Georgia, hard to bring down. I think, you know, but his biggest thing, they got to help him around him. They got to get better defense, but they got to pressure the quarterback a little more. But they got the right mentality because they got the right coach.
Yep.
They got the right mentality, they got the right coach. And we talked about it yesterday. I think they're going to go up there and bludgeon Colorado. I think they're going to just beat Colorado ass up there.
It wouldn't surprise me. I'm glad that's exactly where I wanted to go was – who's going to play quarterback for Colorado? I know they brought both of them to media days.
I don't know.
I didn't realize. I knew that he was going there. The Juju Lewis kid, right?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be a senior in high school.
Yes.
And he might start?
I don't know.
That seems – I mean, I know he's great, and I know he's going to be the number one player in this class and all that, but, like, you know, Cooper Flagg did that in basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You reclassify and start as a – it's not. That's not even a true freshman. Like, what's that? What would you even call that?
Yeah.
Like – That's a lot to ask of a – he'll be 17. That's a lot to ask of a 17-year-old kid.
But, I mean, that's why he did it. He wanted to get get ahead and all those things. Him and his family.
That's probably part of why he did it.
No, that dude was making so much money.
Yeah.
At
right,
high school.
I'm sure he's doing fine now, too.
Yeah, but I think the thing with it is I don't know – and I'm sure Prime don't know who's going to start. But that's why, you know, you talk about it all the time. That's where there's no depth chart. I don't know who's going to start. Let me bring both of y'all. Because you know that.
Smart move.
If you took one, it'd be like, oh, man, he's breaking the starting quarterback, man, or something like that. But, you know, I don't know. But I think Georgia Tech goes up there and runs him.
Yeah, right. I don't think it matters either way. Caden Salter is the other guy, transfer. Played a lot of college football, so at least he would be – experienced in that role. I was listening to College Game Day podcast this morning, and they were talking about that. I didn't realize that Julian Lewis was, like, legitimately in the running to be a starting quarterback as a in a Power Five school as a guy who is supposed to be a senior in high school now.
And sometimes has
that ever happened before?
I don't think so.
Right?
And without how today's ball is and these kids reclassifying already, I don't know.
Like, it might happen in the future.
It might happen in the future.
But I'm just saying, like, that would be really something. Like, that would really be a story if a kid who – it doesn't even happen that much in basketball. Like, the Cooper Flagg part of it was pretty remarkable that he ends up being as good as he was and going number one as a guy that was supposed to be a senior in high school. We understand basketball and football are different in terms of physicality.
Yeah.
Man, that's a –
my thing is, like, are we sure he's going to start? Or is it
going to
be one of the things where, you know,
I'm just saying, if he does, that's crazy.
I don't want him to leave, so.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Make it seem like it.
I would imagine, though, like, at some point, even if he doesn't start game one,
he'll
start eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those situations where it feels like probably a couple different quarterbacks play. There's a few schools where it's like that. Like, there's a lot of good programs that are going to be relying on really young quarterback play this year in college football. And there's some history of young quarterbacks having big success.
Yeah.
But
not a lot. I agree with you. But, I mean, nowadays you're looking at – and it started with Jameson, like these young – Lamar, Johnny Manziel.
Yep.
These young quarterbacks are coming in, and they are balling and winning damn Heisman. So, I mean, most of them are all of them are redshirt or second year.
All those guys were redshirts.
They were all redshirts.
The most successful true freshmen that we've seen over the, I mean, there may be some back in the day that I don't know about, but in the last, you know, like this era, Trevor Lawrence, that went pretty good.
Yes.
And Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm had a really good true freshman year at Georgia.
I'm pretty sure there's some more out there. And they'll let us know in a second.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a couple, but not like, you know, playoff championship caliber.
Jake Fromm went to the national championship.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I know the team around him and everything,
Like Ohio State might start Julian Sain, who's a big prospect, but again, you know.
Like Michigan. Michigan got the number one quarterback, the boy out of Detroit.
I didn't realize that Michigan had Haynes Ron Haynes.
Oh, yeah, Justice.
Justice Haynes.
Yeah, Justice
Haynes. I didn't realize Justice Haynes went to Michigan.
Yeah.
He's going to get the ball a lot.
Hell, yeah. They're going to run it as much as they want to run the ball.
And they have a good young quarterback, but their quarterback situation is shaky.
They got the number one quarterback in the country.
Freshman.
Freshman.
Right, another freshman, you know?
It's going to be great.
Which seems like a good idea to give the ball to
Vron.
To him.
Yeah.
To Justice Haynes.
They're going to be good as hell defensively, though.
We'll come back and get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture.
From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians,
follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day. Noon Hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll get to the back page with Bo in just a minute. We will let you hear our conversation with Falcons head coach Raheem Morris as we're broadcasting live from day one of Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch today. He stopped by and joined. He was on with us to start the show. It was Andy, man. Randy, and Raheem to start the show in the first segment. So we'll let you hear that conversation coming up at 1:20 if you missed it.
I was about to get on with looks like Kyle Pitts had a big day today. A lot of people were talking about, Michael Penix was getting involved early on in the practice and everything, something that he also mentioned they want to do a lot more. And it's something we mentioned leading up to this. I was like, try to get him involved early. You know, but that shouldn't be the case. And you said, Raheem, we're going to play the interview, and you asked a question to him. And basically what he's saying is it's a lot on him.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you got to help him and put him in positions to make plays, but a lot of it's just on him.
Is there a player on the Falcons team with more – individual pressure on them this year? I don't think so either.
Maybe the quarterback.
Yeah, but even if I'm with you because it is the quarterback and all that. But even if Penix doesn't play amazingly, he's the quarterback next year. Pitts, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's so much unknown with his future.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that he's looking good. I've read a lot of comments, looking fast, looking fresh.
Good.
I mean, we know he's an athletic freak.
Yeah.
You know, he's an athletic freak. So, I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of Kyle's because I think he has the ability to be great. I just want him to go out there and do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think even the people that are the most critical of Kyle Pitts want that, right?
Like,
everybody just wants him
to
ball.
I would hope so.
You know what I mean?
I would hope so.
The only thing is, you know, we've talked about that before, right? Like, Kyle Pitts looking awesome in July isn't new.
Nope.
Kyle Pitts coming in great shape and all that stuff, like, which you should. I'm excited to see it, and I hope it translates. I think quarterback play will help.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It definitely will.
I think that's been a part of the story with his career that doesn't get talked about all that much. But, I think quarterback play will help.
Yeah, we had a capable quarterback with Matt Ryan.
Yeah, 1,000 years.
He was playing well with Kurt.
Yeah, in the part of the year last year where Kurt actually played well, Kyle Pitts played really well, too. Now, it was a short period of time, and then it kind of all went away, and by the end of the year, Kyle wasn't on the field all that much. But, I think everybody – I hope everybody's rooting for him to do well. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at solomonbrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
Now, y'all know that I'm not a big conspiracy theory person, and I don't believe in jinxes, but they do say that they come in threes. First, Malcolm Jamal Warner, Ozzy Osbourne yesterday. Now, Hulk Hogan has a massive heart attack this morning and passes away at the age of 71.
I've heard of threes. I think he is the most popular wrestler of all time.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I got to say about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
You know me just not being like the biggest wrestling fan of all time. I know him, obviously. Like, he's one of those ones that transcended wrestling and all that for sure. And he's such like a
– he's larger than life.
Such a figure of childhood, you know? Like, wasn't there like a cartoon, and there was the Hulkamaniac song?
It was larger than life.
It was cereal and all that kind of stuff.
It was larger than life when I was a kid, and then I grew up.
Right. Yeah. And the last few years haven't been probably. Yeah. But, rest in peace to Hulk Hogan for sure.
Yeah, I mean, WWE probably is not as big as it is today without what Hulk Hogan did in the 80s.
Sure.
I agree.
And then he is probably the author of the biggest heel turn of all time with his in 1996 move and creation of the NWO. So Hulk Hogan dead at 71. I'll tell you who's not dead. Another 70 wrestler in their 70s. 76-year-old Ric Flair shared news yesterday morning that he has beaten skin cancer.
Way to go.
Ric Flair keeps outliving people, man.
I'm telling you what, man.
Hey, Bo.
You would have lost a lot of bets.
Hey, Bo, you remember last yesterday we were talking about Ozzy, like, he got an extra 25 years from God. Rick got another 40.
Bro,
Rick,
at least.
I mean, you think about when he first started. Rick was in a damn plane crash. He broke his damn back.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And then had the health scare. I mean, this dude done had more health scares than anybody I've ever seen in my life and still lives hard as hell.
Talk about walking the walk and talking the talk. He is the living epitome of that.
Yes.
What
yes.
was his signature move? Did he have one?
The figure four leg lock.
He's just putting Grim Reaper in the figure four
right.
leg lock
yeah, man.
Every chance he gets.
Dude, it's amazing this dude's still around there, bro.
It really is.
Because he goes hard.
Hard.
Still.
Hard. It's such a testament, too, to like just how every person and every body is different.
Yes.
Like most people, if you put your body through what he's put his body through, would have been dead 20 years
yes.
ago. Like, you hear, like, yes. oh, yeah, Uncle whatever died. Yeah, well, he was an alcoholic forever, yeah. and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, not Rick. He's just out there hanging out.
Living life. Limousine
beating riding. Beating this, beating that.
Jet flying. Kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun. Woo!
It's also a testament to what the human body can endure.
Yes, and I'm having a hard time holding these gators down.
Speaking of holding these gators down, so, look, man, I guess the last thing anybody wants to do is make Cam Newton mad. Everybody wants to talk trash about Cam. The most notably recently is Ryan Clark, and Cam's about sick and tired of it.
That we want to attack the messenger, Ryan Clark. Okay, let's pull up your stats. Second team, all SEC. We cannot relate. Undrafted in 2002. We cannot relate. Then you have one Pro Bowl in 2011. We cannot relate. So if you want to unlock Petty Cam and everything that Cam Newton has ever said on this 4th and 1 show has always been backed by merit and logic, but some way, shape, form, people keep attacking Cam, the person, or why he didn't jump on the fumble, why he didn't do this, or comparing and contrasting. So when I compare and contrast you guys' statistics and Dan Orlovsky, never mind. But as we keep going and we keep unlocking and keep poking the bear, and y'all want to play this game.
There we go. Don't poke the bear that is Cam Newton, I guess.
He's absolutely correct. Like, he gave an opinion. And then Ryan and everybody attacked Cam personally.
What did Ryan say?
He left his Superman cape at home during the Super Bowl and all that crap. Like, that's uncalled.
It's always the fumble.
If you don't like his analysis of Jalen Hurts, I think he's wrong.
Yeah, I disagree with what he said about Jalen
Hurts.
But
it's okay to disagree.
Yeah.
But to take shots, and everybody does that to Cam. And I guess I saw Gilly doing, like, it's a sports take. Disagree with it.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, what I was saying, Jalen Hurts don't need y'all to come to his defense. Mm-mm. This man's won a damn Super Bowl. But for people to act like Cam wasn't the guy, and you watch this man win at every level he's played at, man, go kick rocks.
Yeah, you know? that part of it doesn't make any sense to me.
It don't make no sense to me.
I don't know how you could possibly get from I disagree with his opinion to he wasn't this or that. Like, Cam Newton at his peak was one of the most fun players to watch in the league and won a ton of games with talent in college and in the NFL with talent around him.
But my only thing is, I'm like, what? Oh, God, this damn podcast era, bruh.
Why? I just don't understand.
I don't understand why they got to keep going at each other, back and forth.
I just don't understand. Like, you and I have a pretty easy time being like, oh, I just don't agree with that.
It. Yes.
And then we'll just not talk about it.
Right.
Like, all right, Cam Newton doesn't think Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. Well, I think that's ridiculous. But, all right. You know what I mean?
Why can't we say aye? why can't it just be aye? I disagree.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is to not care what people think.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, again, Cam Newton's opinion on football is always valid to a certain extent because of his history in football. But you could also – the other thing, too, is like Ryan Clark's opinion on football is not invalid because he didn't get drafted.
No, it's not.
Ryan Clark's a great broadcaster. Yes. I think tends to do a really good job with his analysis.
And he was a good damn football player.
Yeah,
Cam was a quarterback, but Ryan was a damn good player.
Sure. I know that is always the hard part when it goes from, like, we disagree about this thing to now let's talk about who was a better – it's like, well, that's not really the point.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the people that are talking about it didn't even play football.
Yeah.
So it's not even really the – anyway. Here we are.
So, speaking of kicking rocks, y'all remember Tyreek Hill at the end of the 2024 season with his I'm out, deuces comment. Then he says his relationship with Tua is a work in progress. Well, here's Tua early in training camp talking about Tyreek.
When you say something like that, it's you don't just come back from that with, hey, my bad. You know, you got to work that relationship up. You got to build everything up again, and it's still a work in progress, not just for me, but for everybody. But, you know, like I said, he's working on himself. He's working on the things that he says he wants to get better with and do better on. So that's the first step to me, and so I commend him for doing that.
It's all about relationship building.
It is.
I like the two of us honest about
it. I did too.
Because a lot of times you just brush it off.
I'm curious, was he asked or did he bring it up? I'm pretty sure it's my action.
Yeah, he probably was asked.
Yeah, he answered and everything like that. But, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but we didn't have the audio to it. But he's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
He is. You quit on your damn teammates.
Yeah.
And everybody saw it.
Doesn't it feel, and I know we've talked about this a couple times throughout the summer, but more stuff keeps bringing it up. Doesn't it feel like there's a real chance for disaster in Miami this year?
Yes.
Like 3-14 type stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Tyreek Hill's the best player on that football team.
He is.
And it's not like it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it's a shame because I really like Tua, and I really like that coach. Obviously, you have a have a love for the Dolphins for obvious reasons. But, I don't know. It just feels like things are kind of stacking up to maybe go real wrong in Miami.
Randy, when you were in training camp, did they have a bagged milk?
What?
Milk in a bag.
No.
No?
Why would they?
So I don't know why they have it, but they do definitely have it, or at least they have it at Buffalo Bills training camp. And Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman was given a bag, not necessarily a box of milk, but a bag. And, man, it's so hard to eat milk and cookies with a bag of milk.
Yeah, you got to open it first, and then you got to pour it. I mean, I don't want to cut it up here because then they're going to spill. So what you supposed to do, cut it down there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Is the object not to pour all the milk out the bag into the cup? Like and then what you will squeeze it out. So how are you supposed to dip the milk in the cookies? But ain't this a cup? That's too, y'all wasting too many dishes. So we're washing this then. Now you can't even get this out of here. So now you got an open thing for no reason.
So they give Keon Coleman a cup, like a measuring cup, with a bag of milk in it. And, wasting too many dishes.
Yeah, I think he's right. Like, who needed 100%. An extra step in milk?
Yeah, man, that young man there is funny.
He's very funny.
He's very, very funny. Now, Bo, when I was in high school, they gave us, like, the milk pouches, the one that looked like the silicone breast implant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, what it is.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, that's what it is?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, it's very similar to that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just poke a straw in it.
You just can't dip cookies in a bag of milk.
Yeah, you can't get cookies in that. Yeah, you'd have to put it in a cup to do it.
That is true.
I'm trying to think of the things I drank out of a bag.
Not a big cookie and milk guy, though. Yeah.
Wine. I drank wine. Because in a box wine, it's in a bag in there. And then when you finish it, you pull the bag out, you blow it up.
What's that? Oh, my pillow. God. Where am I? I'm thinking about something.
Or a flotation device.
Where people, it's like an orange soda that people put the straw in. And they put it in the bag. They do it in the Philippines.
Okay.
They put it in the bag.
Well,
they do it somewhere else, too.
Do you consider like a Capri Sun a bag?
I don't.
That's a pouch.
That's a pouch. Because there's a lot of those in my house. Many, I would say.
Isn't a pouch
a small bag?
Too many.
Banned.
You banned them?
Hell yeah.
Would you just say no more?
Hell yeah. You know why? Because them little straw things.
Yeah, the straw.
The straw pack, plastic.
The plastic thing.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
Banned.
God, and they stick to stuff.
Banned.
Yeah, God, I hate those things.
Yes.
Banned. I'm with you. So what do you guys do now? Just get a big jug of juice?
Better get some water.
Yeah. Okay. I know your kids are drinking juice as we speak.
They drink water. Uh-huh. Unless Donna make it for them. I ain't gonna
worry. Well, do you guys do the frozen tubes? Remember those of juice? You'd get like the frozen thing, and then you'd mix water with it to have a thing of juice. You didn't have the frozen juice?
No.
That must be a Pacific Northwest thing.
We had Kool-Aid.
But you guys didn't get like a little tube of frozen concentrate, and then you'd mix it with water.
I had
and make
powdered
juice?
Milk growing up.
Hell yeah, that potted milk, that carnation milk.
I didn't know that was a regional thing. Yeah, it was like a little chunk of ice, but it was orange flavored.
And it was just juice concentrate that you add milk, you add water to.
Yeah, and then you mix it in with water, and then you'd have orange juice.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.